Sarvaja Kataya, Astotara Shati, Shishimad, who divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Srupa, Ha'ati.
Joy.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Joy.
All glory to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glory to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glory to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glory to Shishi Guru and Gurus. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 7, verse 11. Hare Gunakshita Matir,
Hare Gunakshita
Bhagavan Badarayani,
Bhagavan Badarayani,
Adhyagan Mahal Akhyanam, Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha,
Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha,
Hare Gunakshita Matir,
Hare Gunakshita Matir,
Bhagavan Badarayani,
Bhagavan Badarayani,
Adhyagan Mahat Akhyanam, Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha,
Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha.
Please chant.
Hare Gunakshita Mati.
Hare Gunakshita Mati.
Bhagavan Badarayani.
Adhyagan Mahakyanam. Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha.
Hare Gunakshita Mati.
Hare Gunakshita Mati.
Hare of Hari, the personality of Godhead, Guna, transcendental attribute, Akshipta, being absorbed in, Mati, mind, Bhagavan, powerful, Badarayani, the son of Vyasadeva, Adhyagat, underwent studies, Mahat, great, Akhyanam, narration, Nityam, regularly, Vishnu Jana, devotees of the Lord, Priyaha, beloved. Translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. According to Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Srila Sukadev Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother. Srila Vyasadev knew that the child, after his birth, would not stay at home. Therefore, he, Vyasadev, impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that this child could be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. After his birth, the child was still more educated in the subject of the Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. The idea is that generally the liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. But by the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even the liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Srila Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Sukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. Practically, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, thinking within himself that he had simply wasted so much time in devoting himself to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. Or, in other words, he realized more transcendental bliss with the personal feature than the impersonal. And from that time, not only did he himself become very dear to the Vishnu Janas or the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him. The devotees of the Lord who do not wish to kill the individuality of the living entities and who desire to become personal servitors of the Lord do not very much like impersonalists, and similarly, the impersonalists who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. Thus, from time immemorial, these two transcendental pilgrims have sometimes been competitors. In other words, each of them likes to keep separate from the other, I guess social distancing they have, huh? To keep separate from the other devotees, from the others, because of the ultimate personal and impersonal realizations. Therefore, it appears that Srila Sukadeva Goswami also had no liking for the devotees. But since he himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas. And the Vishnu Janas also liked his association since he became a personal Bhagavat. Thus, both the son and the father were completely cognizant of transcendental knowledge in Brahman, and afterwards both of them became absorbed in the personal features of the Supreme Lord. The question as to how Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the narration of the Bhagavatam is thus completely answered by this shloka. This is very important verse as far as where it is. It's from here. This is the last verse, and the verse after this, the storyline starts. So up till now, it seems like almost somewhat an introduction. I thought maybe before I start speaking here, give you so you know that how this was basically an intro. So up till now, we had in the first chapter, we had the question by the sages. And then Sutta Goswami responds to those questions. And basically, he talked about, in the third chapter, talked about the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the end, he talked about, because these were the questions that were asked by the sages. And so in response to that, he told in the third chapter about the incarnations. And at the end of the third chapter, the discussion was about he mentioned the literary incarnation, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And naturally the sages asked, so, you know, how did Vyasadeva compile it? And, you know, and you know, where was he, what was he doing? And so the narration of Vyasadeva starts, his whole story was in the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter, and in the sixth chapter about how Vyasadeva was despondent. You know, he saw Kali coming and he wanted to do something, and then he didn't know what to do because whatever he did, was he was not satisfied. And then his spiritual master Narmuni comes, and then Narmuni tells his story, and after Narmuni tells his story, then the sages ask, oh, so after Narmuni left, what did Vyasadeva do? And so this is where we come, the chapter 7 is what did Vyasadeva do? And so just we've been hearing in the last few verses about how Vyasadeva taught to Shukdeva Goswami. So then the sages asked, so wasn't Shukdeva Goswami a monist? And he was transcendental, he was, you know, free from any kind of attachment, so how come he took up that study? And so in response to that now, Sutta Goswami is responding, and that's when we had the famous verse yesterday, Atmaramscha Munayo. And in that verse describes that how, you know, even those who are Atmarams, those who are self-satisfied, are attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. And so from there then we start this verse, which is the end about Sukhdev Goswami. And then from tomorrow's verse we start about the whole pastime of Maharaj Parikshit and everything. So in today's verse, we see that there's a lot of description about Sukadeva Goswami. So I thought that it would be, I think it's important. We're in the first canto here, and we'll be studying 12 cantos. And guess who is the speaker? Sukadeva Goswami. So if you're going to hear, you're going to sit down and hear from somebody, you would like to know something about the speaker. Just like we heard something about Vyasadeva, and we've definitely heard a lot about Narada Muni, we had a lot of classes about Narada Muni. So I thought that today the purport is about that, about Sukadeva Goswami, and I thought maybe we can hear something about Sukadeva Goswami. So this morning I'm going to speak about what different devotees, like, you know, all the different characters in the Bhagavatam so far, Sutta Goswami, Shanaka Rishi, the sages, Vyasadeva, and also Maharaj Parikshit, but although we haven't heard him coming yet in the scene, but we hear something what Maharaj Parikshit has to say, and what Krishna himself has to say about Sukadeva Goswami. I think it's important that we, you know, like in the prayers we say Narayana Namaskritya, we normally have Vyasadeva and others, we offer prayers to Sukadeva Goswami, so, but we can see there some very nice prayers to Sukadeva Goswami from the different devotees here in the Bhagavatam. So at first, I'd like to just say what Srila Prabhupada said here. That was pretty amazing. He said, where is it? Srila Prabhupada said that, oh, I'm on the wrong page here. Therefore, it appears that Srila Shukadeva Goswami had no liking for the devotees. Nah. Wow. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it appears that Srila Sukadeva Goswami also had no liking for the devotees. You know, before he said, you know, the impersonalists didn't like the personalists, the personalists didn't like the impersonalists, and therefore Prabhupada says that. So this is what Srila Prabhupada said right here in this purport. So so that's one statement. All the Prabhupada said a lot of other things, which I will bring it up later. But for right now, just I like to make that statement, that repeat that statement what Srila Prabhupada has written. Then earlier in the first canto, chapter 4, Shaunaka Rishi, who is representing all the sages, he said that means Vyasadeva's son, he uses the word Mahayogi, although Prabhupada translates to a great devotee, but the word he uses is Mahayogi. He was an equibalanced monist whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but he also appeared like an ignorant person. So I want you to have some visual conception of by the words that the adjectives, descriptions that Shaunaka is saying here. So he appeared like an ignorant person. Then further he says, he says, how was he, again, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur after wandering in the provinces of Puan jungle, appearing like a madman, dumb, and retarded? So you have some conception about Sukadeva Goswami, what he appeared like. He appeared ignorant, madman, dumb, and retarded. The Sanskrit words are here used, unmata, mad, yeah, muka, dumb, and for retarded, the word is jadva, like jadbharat. So we have certain conception about jadbharat, yeah? I never thought jadbharat and Sukadeva Goswami, although they both are great transcendentalist souls, but somehow I never thought in my mind Sukadeva Goswami and Jadbharat appearance to be similar. But the word here is written as Jadbharat, same as Jadbharat, like stunted. Prabhupada translated as stunted in the word-to-word translation. So this is the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami spoken by Shaunaka Rishi. But then let me tell you what Sukadeva Goswami describes about Sukadeva Goswami. This is described in the second canto. That's when actually Sukadeva Goswami appears in the Bhagavatam. So when Sukadeva Goswami appears in the Bhagavatam, just before when Maharaj Parikshit is there, leaving his body, and Sukadeva Goswami enters in the assembly of all the sages. This is what Sukadeva Goswami, his disciple, says. He says that Vyasadeva's son was only 16 years old, so we are aware of that. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and other parts of his body were delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide. His nose, ears were highly raised, and a very attractive face. His navel was deep, his arms were long, and he had curly hair was strewn over his beautiful face. I know in Madhuri Gopi, she dresses Krishna Balaram, she has all those wig that has a lot of curls, like the really, really a lot of curls, so thinking like that, he had like curly hair, but that was strewn all over his beautiful face. So it seems like it was somewhat like all around his face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Krishna. He was blackish and beautiful due to his youth. And he had attractive smiles, so attractive that it was very pleasing to the women. A little different than what we hear from Shaunaka Rishi describing him. Then it says here, Shuddha Goswami says, though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy. Is that how you say that? Physiognomy.
Yeah.
And so they honored him by rising from their seats. Prabhupada said that in the purport that except everybody did rise, but except for Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, his father and his great spiritual master, and few others, Prabhupada rise there. So, furthermore, Sukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. So, I was trying to understand the two different descriptions and trying to have some visual understanding of how Shukadeva Goswami was. It seems what came to my mind is that when a real estate agent or in one who appraises the house comes to the house and they don't see the mess, if that house is messy, they don't see that. If there's milk all over the place or clothes all over the place or whatever, everything is all a mess. They don't see the mess. They're able to see the actual beauty of the house or the actual value of the house. And they go beyond what externally it looks. So that's the example came to my mind, that maybe that the great sages, they were able to see his actual beauty, his actual effulgence, his consciousness, and not the others, you know, the women and the children couldn't. And here, Shanaka Rishi also knows that about his beauty, but he just described his external, what he looked like a madman, dumb and retarded. That maybe he may have looked like that. Not that he was, because the word is used Eva. Not that he was, but he looked as if that. So then this is just about Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami. So we can meditate on him, how he appeared. Now, I'd like to go to say what Sukadeva Goswami says about Sukadeva Goswami, his spiritual master. It's a very two verses, actually. These two verses he speaks before Narayana Namaskritya. Because one may ask, how come he didn't offer obeisances? How come we don't offer obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami? But no, Sukadeva Goswami does offer obeisances. He has two separate, you know, verses that he sings, that he chants before he says Narayana Namaskritya. And so these two verses are very famous verses. Maybe I'll read the Sanskrit. Yam pravarjanta manupetam eta krityam dvaipayano viraha patana ajuhava putreti tanmaya taya taro vinedus tamsava bhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying about Sukadeva Goswami. He can enter the hearts of all. So if we want to study this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, we can pray. We should pray to Sukadeva Goswami, because guess what? He can enter our hearts. If we pray to him, he'll enter our heart and he will reveal to us this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's not be miser and let's always pray to Sukadeva Goswami as well as we study our Srimad Bhagavatam, because he can enter the hearts of all. Then Sutta Goswami says about his special quality that he, without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, "Oh my son." So here, basic point I wanted to make that he did not undergo any kind of the usual ceremonies that brahmanas may go or others may go, because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Srila Prabhupada says that, yeah, from the very beginning there was no need for him to undergo all the processes. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the beginning. So here Prabhupada says he was Vaishnava from the beginning, although we do know that Srila Prabhupada even said that it appears he didn't like the devotees, he had no liking for the devotees. So anyway, the next prayer that Sukadeva Goswami chants, Yasvanubhavam makila shuti sadhanekam adhyatma deepam apipiti shatam kamondham samsaranam kanaya apanaguyam tam vyasa sunam upayam guru muninam. She says, let me offer my obeisances unto him, the spiritual master of all sages. So we just heard that he was sitting down in an assembly of all these great sages, and he was a spiritual master of all. Everybody, Srila Prabhupada writes here, although we just heard earlier, that Prabhupada wrote in the purport that everybody got up except Vyasadeva, Narad Muni, and a few others, but Prabhupada said in one of the lectures that even there was Vyasadeva, he also stood up. Prabhupada said, even Vyasadeva also stood up. Therefore, he is Guru Muninam. Therefore, he is master, spiritual master of all the sages. So this is who we are listening to from, is from somebody who is the spiritual master of all sages. And out of great compassion, so Sukadeva Goswami, can you imagine a person who's just so compassionate? He's so compassionate that he wants to make sure that each and every one of us, even we're actually jada buddhi, not like him, he was jada, but he was as if he was like stunted. But we are like jada. We are like stunted or whatever we are. But he had compassion for all of us. Describes that he had compassion for the gross materialist who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence. I mean, we are struggling. We are struggling to cross over this darkest region of material existence. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he, out of compassion for all of us, he spoke this. Bhagavatam. We hear that in about his expertise was that his expertise, Prabhupada writes in, I think in Nirgama Kalpataror purport, that his expertise was that he didn't just speak like a parrot repeating, but I don't have that quote here. What was that?
He delivered realization.
Realization, yes. He realized it, and he spoke in such a way that it was beneficial for all. Actually, right here in the verse it says, after having personally assimilated it by experience. So he's not just, we're hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, we'll be hearing all the 12 panthers from Sukadeva Goswami, who is so compassionate. He's compassionate for each one of us, and he has personally assimilated it. So he's not repeating it. He has realized what he's speaking. So we're so fortunate to hear from somebody like him. Now I would like to speak something about his education. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. So he spoke the essence. But is that all he knew was the essence? Did he know anything else? Well, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, ninth chapter, eighth verse in his purport, I'd like to give something about what his credentials are. We'd like to hear, okay, so-and-so is speaking, what is he? Is he a doctor? Is he a lawyer? Is he a, what kind of person are he? Is he good? Does he know anything? We're not going to hear about gardening about from anybody. What is his experience? What is his knowledge? So let's hear something about Sukhdeva Goswami's knowledge. Srila Prabhupada writes that, Sukhdeva Goswami recited 1,400,000, I guess that's what it is. Yeah, 1,400,000 verses of the Mahabharata. So he knew the Mahabharata. Verses of the Mahabharata in the councils of Gandharvas, Yakshas, and Rakshasas. The Srimad Bhagavatam he recited for the first time, you know, in the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. Sukhdeva Goswami was also present in the royal assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And he was a very good disciple. Describes that, Srila Prabhupada says that as a bona fide disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, he inquired from his father very extensively about religious principles, spiritual values, and his great father satisfied him by teaching him the yoga system by which one can attain the spiritual kingdom, the difference between fruitive work and empiric knowledge, the ways and means of attaining spiritual realization, the four ashrams. He described about the symptoms of self-realized souls, the working principles of the material body, the symptoms of the influential modes of material nature, the tree of perpetual desire, and psychic activities. So he had a vast knowledge. So when we're hearing Sukhdeva Goswami, don't think that he's just saying the essence and that's all he knows. He knows everything. He knows all the knowledge. And that, therefore, we, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear so much other knowledge, so to speak, we hear other knowledge, yeah? We hear about the creation, we hear about, you know, of the seventh canto, we hear about the four ashrams, the varnas. We hear so much of that knowledge. Why do we hear all that knowledge? First of all, because he knows it all, but he realized that this is not the ultimate. The ultimate is bhakti. So he presents all that knowledge to actually put bhakti on the topmost. So that's why he expresses all that. Besides other reasons, there are so many other sages, you know, and they're interested in so many other things. So, you know, to help them to pay attention and then finally bring that bhakti is, you know, we're reading in the 11th canto about, you know, the brahmachari life in our readings and how they didn't brush their teeth and they didn't do this and whatever, all those rules. And when you hear all those rules, we're all thinking, oh my God, I'm glad we know bhakti and, you know. And that is the reason. That's the reason that he presents that. So anyway, so this is Sukhdeva Goswami's knowledge, his education, all the different letters that he has after his name. Okay, so now I'd like to go to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Again, we've been reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we've been reading this last chapter, and amazingly, it's funny how when you have to give class and then, oh, this is there and that's there. So Maharaj Parikshit, he describes something about his spiritual master. He says that, first he says, as we know, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is where Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing from his spiritual master, Sukhdeva Goswami, his mother is coming and please tell me something about what you have heard. And so he tells in essence what he heard from his spiritual master. And then he tells his mother, I cannot describe in my own words even one of the glories of the gopis. This is in the very end, after Maharaj Parikshit goes from all the different devotees who got mercy, and then finally we come to the point where he's told that how he tells how the gopis are the recipient of the highest mercy. So he tells his mother, I cannot describe with my own words even one of the glories of the gopis any more than a mosquito can swallow Mount Meru. Oh, but my spiritual master, and it's interesting, in the Sanskrit, he actually says, Mama Guru. It's so sweet, he's saying about my spiritual master. He uses the word Mama, means very personal. So he says, but my spiritual master is fully absorbed in the loving moods of serving Krishna. He can constantly glorify Krishna's names and those of Rukmini and Krishna's other beloved devotees. But then he says, the gopis were consumed by the expansive flames of wondrous blazing fires of love for Krishna. If my guru chants the names of these gopis and recalls the gopis' distinguishing qualities, he too is touched by the sparks shooting forth from the flames of this intense fire, and he at once becomes greatly agitated. Therefore, he has to avoid pronouncing the gopis' names. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is describing his glorious spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. In the end of the glorification, I like to describe what Krishna has to say about Sukadeva Goswami. Just now, this is a very, very interesting story in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, and you have to read it. I'm not going to tell you anything about it because you'll have to go and read it. But this is a very touching scene that's happening there, and basically, Krishna is telling his queens and other devotees in Dwarka that how much he misses Braj, but is helpless because he can't share. Thank you so much. You know, when I was sitting here, I was thinking, oh God, I am so dried up. I hope somebody will bring me water. And then right at that time, you brought me water. You're in the hearts of all or something. Devotees are, yeah. So this is a very touching scene, and Krishna is telling that, can you imagine something is so dear to you, but you want to express to somebody who will be able to hear. You can't express something to somebody who can't empathize or who might be jealous when you're telling them. Again, these are on a very transcendental platform, but just on the story level. So Krishna is saying to the Dwarkavasis that I can't tell you about how I used to play my flute, and I can't tell you this, and I can't. But Krishna wants to tell everybody because he wants to tell his devotees. This is the reason. He wants to attract all of us to his pastimes. So Krishna says this about Sukadeva Goswami. Just one person, almost as dear to me as the devotees of Raj, will be able to describe those topics. Shukdev, the son of Badarayani Vyasa, by the power of his great love and the mood of Rajavasis, he will speak something of those matters to his excellent disciple who resembles him in spiritual qualities and whom I once brought back to life. And in the commentary, which we know the commentary is by the writer himself, Sanatana Goswami, he says, because Shukadeva's own devotional realizations closely followed the elevated mood of the Rajvasis, He has the power to convey the glories of Raj in the ecstatic Bhagavatam poetry emanating from his lips. Even the brief glimpse of the infinite ocean of Krishna Bhakti Ras that Shukadev will reveal in the Bhagavatam will be enough to impart to any human being who hears with honest intent the highest taste of pure devotion. So, what do you have to say? Do you want to hear from such a celebrated devotee like Shukadev Goswami? Shukadev Goswami, I'd like to now just mention one verse from Shukadev Goswami, who himself, he says something about himself. Because this verse this morning is about Shukadev Goswami and how he became attracted. And so Shukadev Goswami himself confirms that. And he says that to Maharaj Parikshit when he appears, he has the appearance in the second canto, and he says to Maharaj Parikshit, "O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence." He was perfectly situated. There was nothing. He had no need. If you don't need anything, why would you be attracted to anything? Yeah? If you have everything you need, you have the best clothes, you have the best house, you have the best family, you have the enough money, you have everything. Why would you be attracted to something else? You're totally satisfied. Why would you be attracted to anything else? No, you won't be attracted to anything. And so he's saying, I was situated perfectly. Perfectly. He had no attachment. He was an Atmaram, a Muni. Yet, I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. He was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This is what came to my mind, and I hope Dandakesh forgives me for saying that. But she told me one time that when she read the Bhagavad Gita, she was like, what is this person who's telling everything about I'm this, worship me, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever, you know. But she said that when she heard that, when she got the Krishna book, she could not put it down. Am I right, Dandakesh, you mentioned that? Yeah, she couldn't put it down. Because it's not because of her, it's because of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes are so beautiful, they are so attractive, that even somebody like Shukadev Goswami, who was perfectly in transcendence, was attracted. And that's how this verse actually it continues from the previous verse. The previous verse is Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And then it says, Harer Gunakshita Matir. He was totally absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna because Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. Such are the pastimes of Hari. The pastimes are so beautiful that that he could not stop himself. So these are some Shukadev Goswami's glories are innumerable, but something that I was able to see and put something together for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. If you, I'm assuming that after hearing the glories of Shukadev Goswami, you're all ready to dive into this Bhagavatam. You already are diving in, but you will dive in further and appreciate this Bhagavatam. Yes, Sridhidhi Muni Prabhu, what do you have to say?
I want to come back.
My dear.
Well, I don't want to be one to challenge Shukadev Goswami's academic qualifications. But, I mean, there was a verse, it was a verse where it said he learned all these things from Vyasadev.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for everything.
Yeah.
But then we also have the pastime where he left home immediately after, you know, and Vyasadev was lamenting that he couldn't teach him.
Yeah, so, but then we understand.
So how do you work that out in the CV?
My understanding, well, this is what happened. He was already realized when he left, because we know the past time that he was trying to, Vyasadeva was trying to get him out of the womb, but he couldn't. But so then Vyasadeva had to go to Dwarka to get Krishna, and Krishna said, don't worry, you can come out, you will not be affected by Maya. So he comes out, he goes in the forest, and this is the point that this is when he heard from Vyasadeva's disciples some verses from the Bhagavatam. And Vyasadeva apparently purposely sent his disciples for attracting Shukdev Goswami. At that time, Shukdev Goswami said, oh, how do you know these verses? Who has taught you? So he was attracted by the Srimad Bhagavatam, and at that time, assuming that Vyasadeva must have taught him all this. He definitely taught him the Bhagavatam, but it seems like that's when he taught all the verses and everything.
So he went back to so he had to go up a little bit to realize his father knew something.
That's right, actually. That's interesting, that point. No, that's very interesting, that point that you bring up. When Sukadeva Goswami, when Sukadeva Goswami left his father, and we know that the ladies, they went and passing through the lake, so some of the ladies who were bathing naked, they did not cover themselves when Sukadeva Goswami was passing by, whereas they did cover themselves when Vyasadeva was passing by. So from there we understand, although Prabhupada said something interesting, but the question was asked by the ladies that why they didn't cover themselves when Sukadeva Goswami passed by and why they did. And the lady said it's because he did not make any difference between male and female. He was transcendental, whereas Vyasadeva did. So from that, almost you realize Sukadeva Goswami's, let's say, higher transcendence. I'm about to answer your question. So we can kind of see his higher transcendence from Vyasadeva. Although Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that Vyasadeva was transcendental like Sukadeva Goswami, however, out of custom, he did not pretend to be on a higher level because he was a householder. But anyway, so in there we see that Sukadeva was seemingly higher. But then after we hear, after he learned Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva, again we see that his disciple, Shukadeva Goswami, also outdid his spiritual master, Vyasadeva. Both ways it seems like Shukadeva Goswami is outdoing his father, because we know from Nigama Kalpataror, Shukamukha, from when we hear from Sukadeva Goswami's mouth, then it becomes sweeter. And in one purport, Prabhupada writes that Vyasadeva said that I will write and you preach. So Prabhupada is saying, I'll write, so Vyasadeva writes and he says to his son, you preach. I almost felt like Prabhupada was saying, like, okay, I write, and my disciples, you go and preach, let me write. I kind of was feeling that Prabhupada is writing there in the purpose. But does that answer your question?
No, that's interesting, that's good. Mm-hmm. Something jogged my memory about, or my pre-working brain cells when you were speaking.
You know, that last time Sukadeva Goswami was walking by the lake. Mm-hmm. Well, first place the thought that came to me is it's a bunch of girls basically taking a bath. I mean, yeah. It's not like they're, well, they might be.
Whatever,
they're not necessarily Vedic sages, but. And Sukadeva Goswami is like a young boy, or young boyish, somewhat innocent and kind of oblivious is his persona. Mm-hmm. Whereas Vyasadeva is like this
householder,
person
older.
Who's in society on some level and married, like an adult.
Yeah.
You know, so here's a young boy, he's kind of out of it, what the heck. And here's, a grown-up, better cover up, you know.
I
forget what Prabhupada was saying.
No, Prabhupada specifically in the verses specifically described that he was transcendental, and the ladies or the young girls or whatever, they said that he did not make any difference between male and female. And yeah. Where's...
well, the women were perceiving that?
Yes, it yeah. described that. Yeah, that the women perceived
yeah.
that he did not make a difference where's Vyasadeva did.
Well, Vyasadeva is in an ashram.
Yeah, and then Prabhupada yeah. says, as I said in the purpose, so Prabhupada said that he was also transcendental, but he, out of proper custom, social custom, he did not pretend to be on a higher platform.
Yeah.
So, yes. Any other
you have
questions?
Comment and question.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, where the reference of our Sukhdev Goswami as mad, dumb, jarabar?
Where is that? It's the verse, I think it's in the first...
No, yes, say it on the microphone.
It's first canto, chapter 4, verse number 6. And it's in the verse itself.
Okay. And then in Brihad Bhagavatam, it's a reference of Sukhdev Goswami did not talk much about gopis.
That's, I don't have the exact verse, but it's in the, we're doing volume 1, yeah? Yeah, volume 1, Brihad Bhagavatamita, is chapter 7, and is verses somewhere 56, 57, 58, some of those verses. Not 57, 156, 157, 158, yeah.
This is from, I'm assuming, Krishna Kishore. This is Krishna, yeah, it is. Krishna Kishore Das, thank you for a wonderful class. I remember one that His Holiness Radhanath Swami spoke in your home, and I think it was there that he mentioned that Sukhdev Goswami spoke in such a way that pleases both the personalist and impersonalist. Mm. It is nice meditation since we are a movement of preaching. Preachers, we can meditate on how to speak which is pleasing to all without losing the essence. He always spoke the absolute truth but did it so expertly where everyone was pleased. Hari Bol. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishna Kishore. And God, you have got good memory. Quite many years ago, 10, 15, whatever. Yes, I got Guru.
Where did you, where is the narration about Sukadeva Goswami? Where is the
narration about Sukadev Goswami going, running off, and then hearing from the disciples of Vyasadeva? Where is that?
I think that, I didn't read that here, but Prabhupada, could you help me? Yeah, but where did Prabhupada, does Prabhupada quote that somewhere?
No, Prabhupada didn't quote.
Okay.
But it's from Brahmanda Purana.
Brahmanda Purana.
Because else brought it up once.
Yeah.
All I remember hearing this from Radha Govinda Maharaj's lectures, that's where I remember hearing it.
I'm sorry,
Radha Govinda Maharaj.
Radha Maharaj.
No, Radha Govinda Maharaj.
Radha Govinda.
Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda. You'll have to start sitting here.
I can hear you better over the internet. You want to say it's my Vishnu has.
Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, I was curious, like, when you say he learned it from Vyasadev, I don't know exact terminology of English, because there is a record mm-hmm. in Brahmanda Puran that where Vyasadev sent him to King Janaka to learn about the Varnashram and all this. He spoke Varnashram, as you mentioned, seventh canto,
mm-hmm.
last four chapters, all about Varnashram.
Varnashram, yeah.
And Vyasadeva, of course, he is a Brahman, he knows everything. But still, from a practical sense, the King Janaka is the one who taught Sukhdev Goswami also.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so many things that, like, as I said, I was just reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport here, that Vyasadeva purport or class. But, you know, we hear so many things. Prabhupada says, no, everybody stood up. Then he said, you know, Vyasadeva stood up. Then he said that he didn't stand up. So these are all, it's all good. Thank you very much. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to Sukadeva Goswami. Hari Bol.
156, 7, 8, somewhere there.
Okay.
There. 2-3 verses there.
Hey, can you change the tempo?
But you have to bring them up.
Time to light.
Sorry, thank you. No, I was just wondering. Yeah, sometimes the word works.
No, Mother Mama, I would be here.
Okay. You can stay. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm going to channel a little bit, so make sure you're 6 feet away from me.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're with me?
Hello? Hey.
How do you know 6 feet?
Yeah.